Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
Campfire is brought to you by...
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and we are partnering with Rose Forever so that you can get yourself or your mother figure something beautiful, something that will last at least a year. So many of you have checked out Rose Forever in our collaborations in the past, and you said, I've had my roses for 2 years. Guys, it might be time for you to upgrade or change those roses. However, we always have a discount code for you. Kempire20MD, that's for Mother's Day, is now available for $20 off. It will only be available during this Mother's Day collaboration that we have. Be sure to check out the description for more details on how you can get roses, candles, even other beautiful flowers that will last you at least a year from our friends over at Rose Forever. Again, more information will be available in the description.
You're listening to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network.
Smokey Robinson is responding to the $50 million lawsuit where multiple women are accusing him of SA. Not only that, the judge in the Diddy case is concerned the jurors will have cold feet over the weekend. So for those of you that have been wondering when I was going to talk about the Diddy case, I didn't want to talk about the Diddy case this week just because it was just really the jury selection, but that has been interesting. So we'll talk about that in a second. However, I also wanted to talk about the Smokey Robinson lawsuit. Just was a busy week, so it wasn't that I wasn't aware and that I didn't want to talk about it, because a lot of you have had really strong reactions saying, here they go, trying to take down another strong, powerful black man. So let's just talk about what the initial case sparked, okay? So according to the BBC, they said four anonymous housekeepers are suing Motown legend Smokey Robinson for $50 million, accusing him of SA. A complaint filed in Los Angeles Superior Court accuses the 85-year-old of sexual battery, false imprisonment, negligence, and gender violence, in addition to a number of labor violations related to wages, breaks, mealtimes, and overtime pay. The lawsuit also names Robinson's wife, Frances Robinson, claiming she contributed to a hostile work environment and used, quote, ethically pejorative words and language. Representatives for the Robinsons did not immediately respond to requests for comment, and accusations could not be immediately verified. We'll get into what Smokey Robinson is saying now. They said Robinson was Motown's first hitmaker, writing number one hits like Mary Wells' My Guy and Temptations' My Girl. Born Williamson Robinson Jr. in Michigan, he was both a talent scout for the record label and one of its most prominent recording artists, known for songs like Tracks of My Tears, Shop Around, and Tears of a Clown. He has spots in both the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Songwriters Hall of Fame, and claims to have credits on more than 4,000 songs. So it's important to note that, because this man is very rich because of that. Robinson's reputation and stature was an intimidating factor for his accusers, who were made to feel, quote, powerless, their lawyer said at a press conference in Los Angeles. They're Hispanic women who were employed by the Robinsons earning below minimum wage, said John Harris. As the low-wage women in vulnerable positions, they lack the resources and options necessary to protect themselves from SA. The women are suing under the pseudonyms Jane Doe 1, 2, 3, and 4 to the sexual misconduct allegations, including rape, being leveled against the musician. Three are former housekeepers, and one was the singer's personal assistant, cook, and hairdresser, according to court documents. Wow. In the lawsuit, all four women claimed that Robinson would summon them to various areas of his properties in Chatsworth, Bell Canyon, and Las Vegas at times when his wife was away. Sometimes emerging naked from a shower, he forced them to have various types of sex over a number of years, starting in 2006, the lawsuit alleges. Jane Doe's 1, 3, and 4 all allege Robinson has aided them in the, quote, blue bedroom of his Chatsworth residence, claiming he would lay down a towel to protect the bed sheets prior to the assaults. Jane Doe 2's allegations state that Robinson raped her in the laundry room and garage of his Chatsworth's residence, where closed-circuit cameras were unable to see. The women claim that during the alleged assaults, Robinson used physical barriers and threats of force to prevent them from fleeing. The lawsuit also includes several allegations of workplace violations. All four women say they work 10 hours a day for 6 days a week without being paid minimum wage or overtime. They also claim to have worked holidays without receiving a holiday rate. According to their lawsuit, the employees all quit because of the alleged sexual misconduct and hostile work environment. The BBC has contacted Robinson's representatives for a response to the lawsuit. No police reports or criminal charges have been filed against the musician. A spokesperson for the Los Angeles County District Attorney said the women's claims were not under review because law enforcement had not presented a case. Los Angeles police said that they had no statement on the matter. And I believe one of the women claims that this happened over a period of years. Okay. All right. So Smokey Robinson, at the time of that report, Smokey Robinson had not released a statement, but a couple of days ago, he did respond. Our friends over at People Magazine write this. They said Smokey Robinson is speaking out after he was accused in a civil lawsuit of assault by four former employees. In a phone call with the Daily Mail on Wednesday, May 7th, the Motown star, 85, briefly addressed the allegations put forth against him in a complaint filed in Los Angeles on Tuesday, May 6th. Robinson said, "I am appalled. I can't speak about this right now." An attorney for the star did not immediately respond to people's requests for comment. The former Miracles frontman was accused, as you know, of sexual battery, assault, false imprisonment, gender violence, and creating a hostile work environment by four Jane Does who worked for the star and his wife, Frances, over a period nearly 20 years. So the complaint, again, just a trigger warning for anyone that has been in a situation like this or doesn't want to hear details of this, but I'm going to review what People reports from the lawsuit. The complaint claimed that Robinson repeatedly forced his fingers and his private area into their private area, causing severe and excruciating pain without consent, and also alleged that he would use physical barriers, force, threats of force, and more, such as locking his bedroom door to prevent the women from leaving during the alleged assaults. Frances, whom Robinson married in 2002, is also named in a lawsuit as the plaintiffs allege that she had, quote, full knowledge of his prior acts of sexual misconduct and failed to take the appropriate corrective action to prevent his deviant misconduct. Even after settling cases with other women, they allege, who experienced similar alleged assaults by Robinson. The plaintiffs, who all worked as housekeepers, also accused the couple of failing to pay minimum wage and overtime, as I mentioned before. So they said Jane Doe 1 began working for Robinson in January of 2023 and claims that she was assaulted by the star at least 7 times before she resigned in February of 2024. According to the complaint, she and the 3 other plaintiffs say that they did not report his alleged assaults to the authorities for fear of losing their, quote, livelihood, familial reprisal, public embarrassment, shame, and humiliation, and as well as, quote, being threatened and intimidated by Robinson's celebrity status. So Jane Doe 2 worked for Robinson from May 2014 to February of 2020, so a period of about 6 years. And claims that she was assaulted by the star at least 23 times. Per the complaint, Robinson allegedly raped her and also forced her to perform oral sex on his erect penis. Jane Doe 3 says that the complaint that says in the complaint that Jane Doe 3 says in the complaint that Robinson raped her at least 20 times during her tenure as a housekeeper from February 2012. To April 2024, so she worked for him approximately 12 years. Per the complaint, Jane Doe 4, meanwhile, worked for Robinson from October of 2006 to April of 2024, when she resigned due to the alleged assaults and sexual harassment. Jane Doe 4, who also worked as Francis's personal assistant, his wife, a cook and hairdresser, says in the complaint that Robinson first, quote, forced her into his bedroom and raped her in 2007, and that such assaults continued before she quit. The plaintiffs are seeking damage of at least $50 million. Well, we're going to continue to follow this story. That $50 million seems to be the going rate right now when we were talking recently about Shannon Sharp. Well, speaking of very similar allegations, we have to talk about Sean Diddy Combs. As you know, the Sean Diddy Combs trial started this week officially with the jury selection. You may have seen multiple reports on the process and the people that felt that they could be a juror versus people that couldn't. Who the prosecution liked versus who the defense did not like for the jury selection. Well, the New York Times is reporting that the judge is delaying Sean Combs' jury selection because they're concerned about, quote, cold feet. So they write this. They said jury selection for Sean Combs' racketeering and S trafficking trial was delayed on Friday over worries that some jurors might get cold feet before the start of the high profile case. Because if they're selected on Friday, then they have the weekend. So judge, I'm going to learn the judge's last name. So Judge Arun Brahmanian, who is overseeing the case, expressed concern that if jurors were selected before the weekend, they could grow uneasy and drop off the panel before the trial begins on Monday. The decision came after one potential juror sent an email to the court asking to be left off the panel for, quote, issues of personal well-being, the defense said. 12 jurors and 6 alternates will be selected and sworn in on Monday at the Federal District Court in Manhattan ahead of opening statements in the case. The jury will be tasked with deciding whether the music mogul was a, quote, swinger with unorthodox sexual proclivities or a predator who used his power to abuse victims in a drug-dazed encounters. If convicted, Mr. Combs, who was once a roundly celebrated figure in the music industry, could spend the rest of his life in prison. The jurors will be anonymous, meaning their names will not be disclosed in public court. They will not be sequestered, however, so it is up to them to shield themselves from the media coverage and other chatter about the case. I wonder, and this is a question I'll have to ask an attorney, why the judge decided not to sequester them, because it is such a high profile.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
Case. So over 3 days, dozens of New Yorkers took the witness stand inside the courtroom where they were asked to describe in detail what they had seen and heard about the case against the artist and the executive, who has been the subject of swirling allegations of SA over the past year and a half. Sidebar, I did see a blogger that was in the courtroom because there's, I believe, a limited amount of journalists and apparently bloggers that have been permitted in the courtroom. And a word on the street, according to one of the bloggers, they were like, Diddy, at one particular point during the jury selection, looked at all of the journalists and looked at them all in the eye.
Hell no.
And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, is he planning his revenge? I'm glad I'm not in there. I'm going to cover this case from outside the court. Mr. Combs, who has vehemently denied the allegations, watched intently as the potential jurors recounted what they had learned on the internet and through word of mouth, in news reports, in a group text conversations with friends, in speculative chatter between coworkers on Joe Rogan's podcast, and in one case, in a satirical song by a Russian comedian. Can you imagine if they had asked me to be a juror on this case? I'd be like, I cover this story, sir. I'd much rather not be a juror, but with the journalists over there. Actually, no, put me in the overflow room. I don't need Diddy looking at me with those beady eyes. And I heard he looks terrible. When questioning a few potential jurors, the judge asked about their own social media activity. See, immediately the judge was like, you're dismissed. Do you remember retweeting perhaps a meme about Mr. Combs or a joke about Mr. Combs? The judge asked one man. More likely than not, yes, he replied. Many of the candidates were adamant that they could set any prior exposure to the case aside to make a decision solely on what is presented at trial. Sidebar, even though I report on this stuff, I think I would be a fair juror. Y'all know I'm fair.
That is funny.
Shut up. I think I would listen to all of the information. Unlike some of these people. In a quote, I'm old enough to have heard a lot of stories before trial, and then when the evidence is actually presented, things are, you know, the truth comes out, one potential juror said. Transferred, I mean, that's the thing too, especially here in New York. I think he can get a fair trial in New York, but he is such a staple in the New York culture and scene. It would be hard for people to be like, I don't know who Diddy is, or I haven't heard a Diddy story. Transferred each day from a jail in the Sunset Park neighborhood of Brooklyn, Mr. Combs has worn a crew neck sweater, slacks, and laceless shoes each day, clothing approved by the judge. Prosecutors have accused Mr. Combs of using violence and financial manipulation to coerce several women into drug-fueled sex marathons over a period of years. His lawyers have argued that the encounters, sometimes known as freak-offs, were entirely consensual, accusing the government of invading Mr. Combs' private sex life with long-term girlfriends. His gray hair and his beard trimmed, the defendant nodded at times when potential jurors told stories about their past, and he cracked a smile when a candidate noted that he watched the show American Idol religiously. A couple of times, Mr. Combs showed apparent dismay, shaking his head or letting out a sigh when candidates for the jury disclosed that they had seen footage of him assaulting his former girlfriend, Cassandra Ventura, aka Cassie, in an incident at the center of the government's sex trafficking case. Many of the potential jurors said that they had seen parts of the footage, which was published by CNN last year. It shows Mr. Combs wearing only a towel, striking, kicking, and dragging Ms. Ventura and the government's star witness in the case, a singer known as Cassie, near a hotel elevator bank. One potential juror said in a questionnaire used to screen those who might be selected for the panel that the video, quote, gives the appearance of an angry, hostile person who is entitled. Another wrote that the assault could be damning evidence, though she noted that, of course, everyone is presumed innocent until proven guilty. She was excused from the jury pool. Familiarity with the footage was not necessarily disqualifying. The judge asked potential jurors who had seen the video if it could cloud their judgment. Did it lead them to form an opinion of Mr. Combs' guilt or innocence? I did see a video from Lauren from The Breakfast Club where they said, because remember, this was a big issue whether or not the video would be used in the case. So here's some clarification on that. Based on what Lauren said in the court, the prosecution has the right to use the video, but they do not intend to use the video at this time. So right now, they're not going to use the video, but I guess they fought to have it there, depending on how this case goes. So they continue, it says, no, it didn't lead me to form an opinion, replied one woman who had seen the footage of the assault on the evening news. I was basically just watching it and it was taken aback and shocked. Okay, so then I probably could not be partial because that video really kind of made me, and I read the lawsuit that she filed against him. Yeah, there we go. If a jury candidate betrayed bias toward Mr. Combs or the prosecution or seemed unsure whether they could be impartial, the judge struck them from the pool. One woman was excused after she acknowledged that daily conversations about the case between coworkers may have swayed her view of Mr. Combs. My bias is I have two daughters, she said. So when we discuss it, I think about my kids. Another woman was removed after noting in her questionnaire that Mr. Combs had a lot of money to use at his discretion and could possibly buy his way out of jail. The judge also asked potential jurors if they had experiences with law enforcement that might prejudice them against prosecution. How about SA or domestic abuse? Several discussed personal accounts of SA, which were not disqualifying as long as the candidates agreed that those experiences would not color their approach to the case. Some individuals were cut for health conditions, financial hardship, or trouble understanding English. One man admitted it would be difficult to abstain from smoking the reefers. over what expected to be an 8-week trial. Another man said that he worked at the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn, the jail in which Mr. Combs is being held. And a woman detailed her squeamishness around the decision of sexual situations, which is expected to be plentiful in a case that revolves around alleged S trafficking involving male S workers. I could faint or black out, she told the judge. As a part of the screening process, a list of people who could be mentioned at trial was given to the jury pool to see if they had any conflict. Some of the lists were people known to have accused Mr. Combs of misconduct. Several were major celebrities, sparking online speculation about how those figures might come up in the case. The jurors picked on Monday will come from a culled list of 43 candidates that passed the initial screening stage. In recent days, Mr. Combs' defense team have bulked up to include 8 lawyers. The recent additions include Brian Steele, who rose to national prominence by defending the rapper Young Thug in a sprawling racketeering case in Atlanta, Nicole Westmoreland, who represented another defendant in that case. The government has 6 prosecutors on its team. The government's team became the focus of a dramatic exchange on Tuesday in the judge's robing room, where the judge summoned another lawyer who has represented Mr. Combs, Mark Garagos, though he is not officially a member of the defense team. According to a transcript of the conversation in the robing room, Judge Subramanian admonished Mr. Garagos for a comment he made on a podcast that he co-hosts with Harvey Levin, a founder of TMZ. During a discussion of the case on the podcast, Mr. Garagos described the prosecution as a 6-pack of white women. I think this is outrageous, and this would not be tolerated in any court from any lawyer or anywhere across the nation, Judge Samarian said. And I'm going to be watching, and I'm going to be listening, all right? You have one more listener to your podcast. Ooh, this judge is not playing. So in regards to this case, shout out to our friends over the Neighborhood Talk, because we're getting a glimpse as to Diddy's defense and what they're going to be trying to paint Cassie Ventura as. So they write this: as y'all know, the Diddy trial started this week with a jury selection currently underway. During the first stages of trial, both the prosecutors and defense present their witnesses to the judge in order to prepare. Well, TMZ is reporting that today during the trial, Diddy's defense team reportedly stated that their defense will center around both Diddy and Cassie being abusive towards each other. According to sources inside the courtroom, prosecutor Emily Ann Johnson told the judge that victim one, who is believed to be Cassie, would not be cross-examined regarding certain medical issues. The judge then reportedly stated that if the prosecution opens up the floor for specific issues, the defense can cross-examine if need be. That's when Diddy's attorney, Mark Agnifilo, reportedly stated the defense is going to take the position there was mutual violence in their relationship, noting hitting on both sides. DV, he added, we are absolutely going to admit to domestic violence, but at what point does it become coercive? The judge then reportedly asked whether Agnifilo are arguing that they are just violent. Agnifilo responded, right, we're saying it's relevant. Prosecutor Johnson then responded, claiming that they will submit multiple videos of evidence of Diddy's alleged abuse, including 2 cell phone videos and the correct unaltered CNN video of Diddy abusing Cassie in the hotel hallway that went viral last year. This is going to be an interesting case to watch. I'm not sure how I feel about Diddy's defense so far, based off what we've been hearing over the last several months of the different angles that they've been taking. But again, I know for a lot of us, we feel as if this case is black and white and that he will go to jail. But it's all going to be dependent on the prosecution. The Southern District of New York, though, I remind you, has like a 98 to 99% conviction rate. And word on the street, Diddy was offered a plea deal, which he refused. So now he's facing life in prison. And some might say, deservingly so. Guys, as always, I want to know your thoughts on the Smokey Robinson $50 million lawsuit and your Diddy update for this week in regards to the jury selection and what the judge feels in this case and this new angle that Diddy's defense team is taking.
Thanks for tuning in to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network. Don't forget to give the Kempire 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. And as always, for more information on everything Kempire Radio Network, head on over to KempireRadio.com.